Stuart said, "How many will we have?" I said, "Well, it's an awfully wet morning, but you're all here and that's wonderful." Just to remind you that next Saturday is the service to celebrate Theo's 100th birthday, being done jointly between here and Woodlands via Zoom. And there's a card outside to sign from the church to Theo for his 100th birthday. So if you would at some point manage to sign it, that would be lovely. Also to say a big thank you to everyone who's volunteered to help at Messy Church on Thursday. We've got a good list out there and we're looking forward to welcoming lots of children into the church. It's going to be different because there'll be vaccinations going on, but it'll all be done through this door here and the church will be closed off, and we're looking forward to a lovely day with all the children. And also Aunt Mandy asked to remind you that the Wednesday service has gone back to its usual day. It was changed last month because of vaccinations, but to note that it's now on the fourth Wednesday of the month. So Reverend Frank Bishop is now preparing with Judy to lead our service, and we welcome him.
Good to be with you at point, and especially as last time I was due to come, I couldn't at the last minute. I was had the COVID jab the day before, and it laid me out for a couple of days. And I was so grateful for your understanding and having to sort of make arrangements at about 9 o'clock on Sunday morning. But I understand you cope very well. We worship God together as we join in the hymn number 90. Sweet is the work, my God, my King, to praise thy name, give thanks and sing. prayers are those in our Methodist worship book in one of the orders for Holy Communion. Let us pray. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sins to God. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought and word and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Thanks be to God. Gracious God, whose love for the world is revealed in your Son, our Saviour, grant that he may live in our hearts by faith and be proclaimed in our lives by love. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you in the Holy Spirit be glory and praise, now and forever. Amen. We turn now to Psalm 51, 811 in the book. Yes, you have it here and we'll read it together. Have mercy on me, O God, in your great goodness. According to the abundance of your compassion, blot out my offenses. Wash me thoroughly from my wickedness and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my faults and my sin is ever before me. Against you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and righteous in your judgment. I have been wicked even from my birth. Behold, you desire truth deep within me, and shall make me understand wisdom in the depths of my heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear of joy and gladness. Turn your face from my sins. Make me a clean heart, O God. And now we listen for the gospel for today.
I missed this on the order of service, so if you'll excuse me, I shall read it. Luke 18. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like the other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get.
But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven and beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted.
Thank you, Judy. 244, blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see your God. The Lord who left the heavens a life and peace to chooses the pure in heart. Lord, we all present sing a vision of your face. Give us a pure and lowly heart. So we reflect on today's gospel, that very well-known story of the Pharisee and the tax collector. The story is told of a weary traveller getting off a train and saying to the porter, "Why on earth is the station 3 miles from the village?" To which the porter replied, "Perhaps they thought, sir, that it would be a good idea if the station was near the railway track." A modern station 3 miles from the track is as much an absurdity as is a religion that is out of touch with the values of the kingdom of God. Perhaps something like that was in the mind of Jesus when he told this story of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Could he be taking issue with those whose religion was an end in itself rather than a way to God? I wonder if there were amongst those first century Christians for whom Luke was writing some who considered themselves a cut above the rest. Religious pride is horrible. There's nothing so noble as good religion. But all good things, even religion, can be perverted. And yes, bad religion is horrible. I guess we all find religious extremists difficult people. All good things can be perverted. And this parable is a warning that this can happen with even religious profession. In Luke's parable, the concern of Jesus was directed to the Pharisees. Not all Pharisees, of course. Many of them were fine, upstanding people, good adverts for their role as guardians of the faith. But they had their extremists wrapped up in the minutiae of the law, and over the centuries, so much minutiae had accompanied in the interpretation of the law that it had become an intolerable burden. Extremists are never a pretty sight, be they Jew, Muslim, or Christian. They do so much damage to the cause of true religion. With skill typical of the master storyteller, Jesus builds up the scene. It was worship time in the Jerusalem temple. The congregation were assembled. Two people stood out from the rest. One took a prominent position for all to see. The other was on the edge of everything, hardly daring to come inside. One was a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee Jesus had in mind, Luke tells us, was not like the other people. He fasted on Mondays and Thursdays, as well as the communal fast on the Great Day of Atonement. He was generous in his giving to God, tithing his income. That may have been the reason for his that may have been good for his holier-than-thou reputation, but how good was it for his soul? By contrast, Jesus introduces us to the tax collector. He was in the employ of the Roman state. He collected their taxes, making sure there was a good cut for himself. We can imagine how unpopular he was in his community, regarded as a Roman collaborator. But this tax collector in the story of Jesus remained far off. He was on the fringe of the temple scene, too nervous to get close to other worshippers. He knew himself to be unworthy. Instead of standing with arms outstretched, thanking God that he wasn't like other men, he stood with his head bowed, beating his chest. Clearly, he was someone in deep anguish. There could be no greater contrast between the two worshippers. One was puffed up with self-importance. The other was overwhelmed by self-knowledge and obviously had a lack of self-respect. Now let us try and imagine ourselves being there when Jesus was telling the story. We are the Pharisees with whom Jesus is talking. Hearing Jesus' description of the self-indulgent stereotype, we might have stood a bit taller. Well, Jesus, that's the last we can do. Expressing devotion like this, that's part of our faith. Then, to their astonishment, Jesus introduces the tax collector in the story. You'd be surprised that he was even in the temple. What's he doing here, you might have muttered. Then comes the first insight, that rather than commending your devotion, Jesus has something else in mind. The simple prayer of the tax collector has echoes in many of the Psalms, one of which we have just read, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions. So says Psalm 51. Then comes the words which staggered the Pharisees. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. And as the Pharisees no doubt scoffed with indignation, Jesus added, for all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. It would be intriguing to know how this conversation with the Pharisees ended, but Luke doesn't tell us. Perhaps they were so scandalized at the tax collector being forgiven and blessed by God that they just drifted off, leaving Jesus to his fantasies. Or they might have regarded this parable as further ammunition in the case that they were building against this man who dared call himself the Son of God. But Jesus was turning upside down the conventional wisdom that determined people's place in society. Once again, he confronted a story which confronted people with uncomfortable truths about themselves. Some of them oozed spiritual pride. How different was the 19th century Catholic priest, the Curé d'Ars. When he was a young man in seminary, preparing for the priesthood, his fellow students considered him to be so naive that they wrote a letter to the principal asking him to be discontinued in his training for the priesthood. He saw the letter and he signed it himself. Fortunately, the principal could see hidden depths in this young seminarian, and he took no further action on the letter. The Curé d'Ars worked in a remote parish, but news spread that he was a wise spiritual counselor, and people traveled long, long distances to seek that counsel. How very different. What we have in this parable is the root of one of the key fundamental doctrines of our Christian faith: justification by faith. We're made right with God, not by our own efforts, but according to by accepting the free gift of grace, trusting in what God, Christ, has done for us to bring us home to God. That great doctrine, worked out by Paul in his letters to the Romans and the Galatians, surely has its roots in this parable. However, few parables have been subject to more distortion than this one. It's all too easy to paint the Pharisee as the villain and the tax collector as the hero in this story. There's so much to laud in the life of the Pharisee because of his devotion to the law of Moses. And the tax collector is certainly no hero. Working for the Roman overlords, collecting their taxes, taking a good cut for himself, and his ilk would be detested in their communities. So much in his life is offensive. Then comes the great turning point with his prayer in the temple. To miss this point is to rob this parable of its radicality. The key message of Luke and later on of Paul is that God justifies sinners who confess and rely on his grace. And of course, if people really are touched by God's grace, there's going to be a fundamental turnaround in their lives. Spiritual blindness is not to recognize our need of grace. Spiritual grace, health, is to accept as free gift a grace that we can neither earn or deserve. The key difference between the Pharisee and the tax collector, and the reason why one prayer was accepted and the other wasn't, was that the Pharisee trusts in himself, while the tax collector threw himself on the mercy of God. This parable is deeply challenging to us, isn't it, who are religious people. We're just as likely to be influenced by the values of our time as were the Pharisees. Our society largely rewards achievers and admires the go-getters. Upward mobility is a sign of success, and the size of our house or bank balance are indications of our worth. Now, of course, I'm not saying that these things are bad in themselves, but they can become so if we allow them to destroy what are true values and the things of ultimate significance. The view of Jesus is altogether different. In his upside-down kingdom, through word and deed, Jesus sought to show that vulnerability and humility, love and compassion, service and sacrifice are the strengths on which his kingdom is built. Any other foundation is as much use to seekers after the kingdom as is a railway station built 3 miles from the track. Amen. The hymn, May the Mind of Christ My Saviour.
Savior, dwell in me from day to day. By his power and loving, exalting self, forgetting this is victory. May I run the race before me, strong and brave to face the foe, looking only unto Jesus as I prayers of intercession, let us pray.
as we've reflected on the scripture, Lord our God, we thank you that you hear the prayers of the lowly and forgive the sins of the penitent. And so as we bring our intercessions to you, grant us a glimpse of your glory, a humility in our approach to you, and a deep awareness of your presence and love. We give you thanks for the beauty, wonder, and mystery of creation. Teach us to love the world with the great love that you have for the world. We thank you that many Christians in these days, as part of their discipleship, are involved in conservation and caring for the earth. Help us to join with all people of goodwill in this vital work. Lord, restore your people. Guide us in the ways of peace. We pray for all who have become lost in their journey through life, all who are slaves to drugs or caught up in crime. We pray for our world leaders at this time, confronted with so many challenges. Help them to seek the ways of peace. And we pray especially for the Ukraine, that a just peace may come to that land. We remember all who are suffering from floods or famine, and center our thinking on Pakistan and Somalia especially. We thank you for the response of governments and the great relief agencies as they seek to bring crucial help and sustenance. We pray for our own beloved country at this time, facing political turbulence. We ask that just counsels may prevail. Lord, restore your people. Guide us in the ways of peace. God of all power, we ask you to support all who are down. We pray for the exhausted, the weary, and the worn, those who have run out of energy and can no longer cope on their own. We ask your blessing on all who are suffering from depression. And in a fellowship of silence, let us use the silence to commend to God those known to us who need a special mention in our prayers at this time and who need God's love and grace and healing. Lord, restore your people. Guide us in the ways of peace. And in our circuit prayers today, we remember our friends at Broken Cross. Bless them in their work and witness in these challenging days for your church. Help them to keep the faith and grant that they may be blessed in their endeavours to serve their community. Hear our prayers, spoken and unspoken. We pray with confidence in the name of Christ, and we gather our prayers together as we say together the words that our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So we move into our communion, and we have a lovely two-verse hymn by Charles Wesley. How anyone has the genius to pack so much truth into two verses, I shall never know, but we thank God for the great hymns of Charles Wesley, 574, Because Thou Hast Said.
Service to great prayer of thanksgiving. The Lord is with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Praise you, gracious Father, our maker and sustainer. You created the heavens and the earth and formed us in your own image. Though we sinned against you, your love for us was constant, and you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the Savior of the world. Sharing our human nature, he was born of Mary and baptized in the Jordan. Proclaimed your kingdom by word and deed, and was put to death upon the cross. You raised him from the dead, you exalted him in glory, and through him you sent your Holy Spirit, calling us to be your people, a community of faith. And so with angels and archangels and all the choirs of heaven, we join in the triumphant hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy God, we praise you that on the night in which he was betrayed, our Savior Christ took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it. Gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for all people for the forgiveness of sins, do this in remembrance of me. Remembering therefore his death and resurrection and proclaiming his eternal sacrifice, we offer ourselves to you in praise and thanksgiving as we declare the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Send down your Holy Spirit with these gifts of bread and wine. May be for us the body and blood of Christ. Unite us with him forever and bring us with the whole creation to your eternal kingdom. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit, we worship you in songs of everlasting praise, blessing and honor and glory for this, be yours forever and ever. Amen. We break this bread
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. The blessing of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit remain with you always. Go in peace, in the power of the Spirit, to live and work to God's praise and glory. Thanks be to God. Amen.